The reading comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God wanted waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and power made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove out of him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. As you know, today is the first Sunday of Lent, and I will be speaking today about the reason Christ died, which immediately introduces the subject called atonement. And atonement means reconciliation. And it is a theme that is found particularly in the Old Testament, because we start with the story at the beginning of the Bible of Adam and Eve, and what is called the fall, and how the relationship between man and woman and God was broken. And throughout the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, there is this continual search as to how to reconcile the broken relationship with God. And a way of doing this that was used was to offer sacrifice to God, to go to the temple and to slaughter a lamb, a goat, or another animal or bird. And the idea was that by making this sacrifice, the sacrificed animal would take away your guilt. You would be atoning through that sacrifice. And yet the prophets, some of them, weren't convinced that this was the solution. It was too easy. And it is said in Hosea that God said that I require steadfast love, not sacrifice, knowledge of God, not broken rites. And yet this form of sacrifice formed the basis of the Jewish religion up until the time of Jesus. It is said that in Jerusalem, the various economic activities associated with the temple and sacrifice amounted to somewhere near 80% of the economy of Jerusalem. So it was very important, this idea of sacrifice. But then what happened? Jesus came along, and what did he offer? He offered forgiveness of sins to all. He didn't require a sacrifice to be made. All he required was repentance. Repent of your sins and you will be forgiven. And of course, this was a threat, both theologically and politically, to the existing establishment. Here you had someone who was bypassing the temple system of sacrifice and was offering forgiveness of sins, and all that was required was repentance. So what happened? Well, as you know, Jesus was murdered. And as a result, the disciples were bereft. Jesus had gone. What was it all about? But then something else happened, and we had the resurrection. And everything changed. The disciples changed from frightened followers of Jesus to courageous disciples. But they had to make an understanding of Jesus' death. Jesus had never said that he was going to be killed as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And the disciples had to try and work out from all of the things that Jesus said and from the Hebrew scripture what was the meaning of his death. Now, before I tell you what you already know, what their interpretation of his death was, let me just say that there is no one overriding explanation for Jesus' death in the Bible. There are a number of different explanations, and there is no one overall explanation that is adopted by the church. The reason for Jesus' death is not explained in the creeds. And I think perhaps the reason for that is that the understanding as to why Jesus died really depends on your perspective from where you are sitting. Because if you were one of the Jewish leaders, you would have said the reason for Jesus' death is because he was a heretic. He was undermining the Jewish faith. And if you were Pontius Pilate, or one of the Roman leaders, you would have said Jesus' death was because he was a political threat to the establishment. So what did the followers of Jesus understand by Jesus' death? Well, as I said, they looked at the Hebrew scriptures. They looked at what Jesus had said in his life. And they saw his death as set out in 1 Corinthians. They saw his death for our sins in accordance with scripture. And they came to see it as a sacrifice that was made on behalf of mankind to appease God for the sins of mankind. And it also came to be seen that Jesus' death was in some way a ransom to free us from the control of the devil arising at the time of the fall. And this type of thinking carried on amongst Christian theologians and writers for 10 centuries, until we came to the 11th century and we encounter the then Archbishop of Canterbury called Anselm. And he took a different view. He said, how can mankind be in bondage to the devil? That gives the devil some form of hold over our divine creator. He said, no, this cannot be right. And he sought to prove why Jesus died through reason. And the reason that he applied was the reason that was familiar to him, living in a feudal system. And he said that the reason that Jesus died was because it is akin to a lord having a servant who has broken the rules of the lord. And if the lord were to simply pardon the servant, then the whole system would break down. So there needed to be some form of satisfaction, a payment for the misdemeanors of the servant. And Anselm said that through love, God sent his son Jesus to fulfill that payment in satisfaction of the sins of mankind. Now that type of thinking continued until we got to the 16th century and the Reformation. And the reformers, Calvin and Luther and others, modified the doctrine of satisfaction and introduced something called penal substitution. And their thinking was based on the fact that the law by then had become paramount. The law was superior to that of individual rulers. And therefore, it was a requirement in their minds that one satisfy the particular law that had been broken, and the death of Jesus was seen as payment, satisfaction of the law that had been broken. And as I said, it was called penal substitution. Now, these doctrines that I've described were and are not the only doctrines that have been put forward to explain Jesus' death. And they're complementary. They work together and alongside. But I want to mention a different approach that has arisen outside the Western Church, because all of these ideas that I've described of Anselm and the Reformers were unique to the Western Church. The Eastern Orthodox Church split away from the Western Church in 1058, and before Anselm introduced his doctrine of satisfaction. In the Eastern Church, they saw and do see Jesus' death as rather different. For them, Jesus is the second Adam. The first Adam led to the fall. Jesus, being the second Adam, is the person who restores the relationship with God. And therefore, the approach that they have is one of salvation. They see Jesus' death not so much as the means of forgiveness of sins, but the way for each and every one of us to attain salvation. There is a quote by Saint Irenaeus, who said that Jesus became like us so that he might lead us to become even like himself. So it's a rather different approach that has been taken there. Another approach that I would mention to you arises from the 20th century. And this is a result of a German theologian called Jürgen Moltmann. He wasn't a theologian to begin with. In fact, he wasn't particularly interested in religion, but he did find himself in the German army in the Second World War. And in 1943, He was guarding a munitions dump in Hamburg. Now Hamburg, at the time he was there, was attacked by the RAF. And for 9 consecutive nights, there was bombing, with the result that 40,000 people were killed through the bombing. He himself survived, but his friend, fellow soldier, who was working alongside him, was killed. His friend's head was blown off. And this traumatized Mortmann, and he suffered mentally as a result. But he found that one thing that he was thinking about all of the time was not, God, how did you let this happen? But God, where are you? And this started him on a quest to find God. Move forward 2 years to 1945, and he was captured by the British Army and sent to a prisoner of war camp in Scotland. When he was there, one of the chaplains gave him a Bible, which he proceeded to read. And then he got to the end of the Gospel of Mark. And he read the words of Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And those words resonated with Mortmann because he saw the suffering Christ on the cross. He saw the suffering of the world reflected in Christ's death on the cross. And this is another aspect of atonement that perhaps we don't think about as much, and that is the suffering Christ on the cross. Because there Christ forgave all those who had persecuted him. And it was God in Christ who in weakness forgave others. And this concept of the suffering Christ is very influential in third world countries, which have been influenced by what is known as liberation theology, because for many people their life is one of suffering, and therefore seeing the suffering of Christ on the cross will resonate with them. This also highlights another aspect of forgiveness that we should remember, and that is when we ask for forgiveness, we presumably often think of ourselves and our fellows, for the suffering that we may have incurred, and also for forgiveness of sins. But the other aspect which we are reminded of in the Lord's Prayer is forgiving those who sin against us. And I think that is an important thing to remember, because that is so difficult. If you think of anyone who has committed a sin against you, if you've been unfortunate enough to be the victim of a violent crime, it must be very difficult to forgive. But that is what we are told we must do. So why did Christ die? What was the reason for his death? As I said, I think it depends on your perspective. But let me give you a number of things which for me I think are important. Christ's death gave us the resurrection. Without the resurrection, where would our faith be? It is the cornerstone of our faith. Christ's death gave us the cross, the means for forgiveness of sins, and the way to forgive others their sins. Christ's death also shows us the love of God for men and women. And to support that, I end with the words of Jesus from the Gospel of St. John, which will be familiar to you. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that those may believe in him and not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn it, but to save it. through him. Amen.